Welcome aboard the Walt Disney World monorail. Welcome aboard the highway in the sky. Please hold on. Thank you. No smoking, please.
Hello, welcome to Monorail Blue. My name is Andy.
And I'm Jordan.
And I'm Danny. Oh.
And this is like some sort of a reunion episode. As yes. You probably can tell through this podcast feed, we haven't been active in quite some time, and yes. Our timing and rehearsing wasn't as good as it once was. But extraordinary circumstances causes for extraordinary people to come together and talk about things that they love, which is Disney yes. parks.
Yes.
And a lot has changed since we last recorded. The world has vastly been different, yes. and Disneyland has been closed for a long time. But before we get into all that, how are you guys doing?
Oh, yes, I'm doing well. Andy, it's just good to hear your voice again. Oh, likewise. Man. And Danny.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I know it's a podcast, but we're for those who are listening, we're looking at each other through FaceTime right now. And my, have we just changed, you know? Like the parks haven't changed. We're going to get into that, like you said, but because we recently, Danny and I were at Disneyland for the reopening, but y'all, we have, you know, Andy's wearing a tank top.
Yep, it's hot and
he's
working
hot
from home
in California.
Life.
Danny's smiling, but not smiling as big. And I have long hair, right, guys? Like, look at this.
Yeah,
this
is, that weirds me out, but that, it's cool.
That is
it's
yeah,
a COVID thing.
COVID and the whole pandemic thing changed, yeah, I think all of us, and yet we can still be together and talk about fun stuff like this now, a yes. year or so after that. So I'm just happy to see you guys.
I'm happy to see
you
all too.
And to talk with you guys, yeah.
Yeah, I was just, you know, just thinking about it, like, you know what, this might be the time to do this again.
Yeah.
Because like I said, extraordinary things have happened, and I think it'll be fun to talk about it. But first,
yes.
I guess before we get into the reunion, I kind of want to talk about actually when Disneyland decided to close and what your guys' thoughts on that.
Yeah.
Danny.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I was there the last day that they were open.
Do you remember the date? Isn't like March something?
It
like
was
mid-teens?
March 13, 2020. Yeah. And they were, you know, at that time, the current president and the administration said that we were going to be 14 days to slow the spread. And so Disney was going to be closed for 14 days. So it was a lot of see you real soon. All the cast members were on the train station and saying goodbye to everyone as they left, saying we'll see you in 2 weeks. No prob Bob. But of course it didn't turn out that way. So we all thought we were coming back in 2 weeks. They mentioned we'd be getting our 2 weeks back on our annual pass, and there was, you know, nothing thought of it. And we didn't think twice. And then before we knew it, we didn't know what we were saying goodbye to, because we weren't going to be allowed to come back for a very, very, very long time. So it was an interesting night. I had a really good time. I tried to get like all the things I wanted to get done. I went specifically out of my way to get chocolate popcorn from Batu, because I love that.
Well, so, I actually haven't had that.
Yeah, it was really good. I went out of my way to get that. So, and then I also rode, ironically, I rode Dumbo, the very last ride of the night. So it just so happened to be that was what we rode last. So, and it also was one of the first ones I rode when it reopened. So full circle action there, excuse me. But yeah, it was weird because none of us knew what was happening at the time. We just knew that it was sort of here already. And like at that point, it was kind of weird because like people were already kind of nervous about stuff, and they were already starting to social distance and physical distance, but it wasn't really mandated yet anywhere. And so, like, they still had the fireworks show that evening, but without the fireworks. It was Mickey's Mixed Magic without the fireworks. And, like,
that
everyone...
weird? It's just, like, it seems like it would be really weird to be a part of, like, a fireworks show without the fireworks. I know, like, all the, like, you know, projections and music.
Yeah.
And...
well, that show specifically was designed to be without fireworks. And then it was funny because that was, like, their first test show. But, like, it would basically say Mickey's Mixed Magic. And then on the weekends, it features fireworks. So specifically wasn't even...
that weird
a show that like yeah it wasn't even a show that was meant to have fireworks per se. It was just like a show that had them on weekends sometimes. So but it was weird because everyone was dancing in the street and like all close to each other, and then when everyone was saying goodbye at the end of the night, there was like not a lot of physical distancing. But then like it was at the back of my head like this is kind of weird, like we're all here and like the opposite of what we should be doing in this moment. And then, you know, it all quickly escalated thereafter, of course, as we all know. So it's weird to look back on, that's for sure.
Yeah, what about you, Jordan?
Yeah, I wasn't there the last day, but I saw a lot of it on social media and all that. And I think the reason why I don't think I went, I think for a handful of personal reasons and not, was... what was it? Yeah, just like I thought, like Danny, like it would all come back in a few weeks. Like I would have access to the place again. So I think I took it for granted for sure. Yeah, little did we know that those videos and things and I remember Rebecca, who was just recently became the new president of the resort, who's still with the company and a higher, I think she's at Disney Plus now or what have you, but
mm-hmm. Yep.
She had posted on her Instagram account, and I vividly remember her getting emotional seeing the, you know, the characters who were with her and all of that kind of just being the last bits of memories of the park before it was shut down for 412 days. So, yeah, and again, I guess historical context, Disneyland's ever closed I think, two times, the Danny?
JFK's
three times,
assassination.
JFK's assassination, 9/11.
And one other.
Other reason,
I think
yeah.
I think it was closed four times.
Four, yeah.
But
wasn't something, like, weather-related? Like, I remember people, when it was opening, they were, like, saying that.
It sounds familiar, but in any case, the point being, it only closes for very, very traumatic reasons, right? And so, 412, I mean, even in that, like, the length of the closure was something of note, right? It hasn't been closed for more than a few days, but, yeah, obviously, given the status of you were in a pandemic and... all that and the unexpectedness of it and unknowingness of it, I think only added to how not only strange it was to not have it available to us when we were so used to it, especially us being, you know, I guess to use the word privilege here would make a lot of sense to have passes, to be nearby, and all that. I think it was, yeah, just all of this unknowingness that made it very unique. But then pivoting now to why I think it mattered all the more when we were able to revisit just a few days ago on reopening day after those 400 and so days, I think only made the experience richer and more happier. So,
yeah.
Yeah, like, I guess for me, I honestly don't remember the last time I went. I had a pass.
Was it with me and Mike?
No.
Okay,
after.
Mike's a mutual friend between all of us. Context. Yes.
Yeah. I had a pass. Like, I guess it would still be current if they were to reactivate it right now. I don't think I had gone once in 2020 before Rise of the Resistance opened. And, like, I remember I was wanting to go on that ride, but it's just so impossible to get on without, like, making it your whole day. And I just don't have the time, quite frankly, due to just my obligations with my current job, I just kept on putting it off. And I just kept on putting it off. And actually, right before this whole thing happened, I was traveling for work. I was in Boston for the Penny Arcade Expo, or PAX East. And then it was, like, right as this was happening, and people were like, huh, this is something. Like, there was so much hand sanitizer there. They were, like, wiping everything down. And then the week after, I went to Arizona for spring training, and people were like, you know, starting to think about public health measures, as distancing, and like baseball players weren't signing anything. And stupidly, I bought like 50 bazillion balls thinking that, you know, I would like have to be like pushing players away essentially.
Yeah.
Oh, I was such a fool. But, I think like it was like that week when everything started to hit the fan.
Yeah.
Is when the NBA closed down, baseball closed, and Disneyland closed. And this kind of started like, whoa, this is something serious. Because again, like, I think for all of us, Disneyland has been something that's always there no matter what. Like, it's just always there.
Yeah.
It may not be kind in sense of capacity, but you can always go to Disneyland if you have a pass. And it's like, there's a huge culture around that, just casually going after work with a friend.
I think more importantly too, as a cast member, or as a former cast member, because I'm not a cast member now, but as a former cast member, I always felt too, because I did work at Disney during the first recession. So when we had our pretty bad reset, well, the worst
in
recession.
Around 2000 night. Or yeah. 2008, 2009, 2010
were the 3 years that I think were the worst there. But I feel like just working for Disney in general, like when a lot of people around you were losing their jobs, really, as a cast member, you always thought to yourself, you know, for the most part, if you're working like at the resort per se, not like in another role, like administrative wise, like it was almost like job security, because even though we had a recession, people still found money to spend at Disneyland because they, you know, it was a really bad time in our history and people wanted the escape.
Yeah.
They still wanted to treat their family to something fun. And so they came. So it was almost like you didn't worry about your job if you were a cast member at that time. And it's so weird this time because it affected Disneyland in that way, so that the cast members couldn't work for 2 weeks. And at first, like, Disney was taking care of that and that was fine. I think they actually ended up covering all the employee salaries for like over a month.
Yeah.
Before they realized they just couldn't keep doing it in perpetuity.
Right.
But it was weird because as a cast member, I mean, I wasn't laid off or even employed for them before the pandemic. So I didn't go through all that, but I would imagine for those longtime cast members, you always felt like a lot of job security with being a Disneyland Resort cast member. And this time you kind of just feel hopeless. You know what I mean? Because there's no control. There's no control on when it would go back or when you could go back. And so you just felt like really, I feel like that would be really disheartening for a lot of cast members, because it was like the opposite of what it always was.
It's, yeah, like this is literally the one weakness to a theme park is an infectious disease like COVID. And like, and again, it's just like, I guess we were just so ignorant that like something like this would never happen. Cause it's like, cause like Disney has always been there for us. It's like, it's a cultural institution within Southern California. Arguably within the United States.
Absolutely.
And I agree. The world.
Yeah. And no, I agree with just, you.
It was just so weird to see it go away.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, just to add on top of what you're saying, I think, yeah, it's not just us locals. It wasn't just people who do that. But I remember, Walt's speech, opening day speech, you know, that gets overplayed, I think, in a lot of ways. But I think it only hit the nail on the head even more so today because, you know, Disneyland essentially exist as a source of joy and inspiration, right? One can probably even add the word hope, right, to that, that it stands for a better place, a better life and a better thing. So yeah, it's not just the local context, it's the global context. And when you wipe that out, obviously a symbol of hope and joy and inspiration, what do you get? You get all the other opposite things that come with living a life, right? Not to get too, you know, deep into that, but like, you
super
know, that's
meta.
Yeah, exactly. But you know, I think we all can agree, like, that's such an important thing to point out there. But you know, moving into like the opening, those were things that I think again came back with, I think, tenfold with all that when everything kind of opened on the 30th, April 30th.
Yeah, so let's circle back. And so what do you guys think of it? Did you feel safe? Was the crowds manageable? Did you feel like it was a nerfed experience? Was it just like as you remembered it when we went normally and didn't think of anything?
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, let's start with you, Danny. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I had been visiting the resort beforehand, so it wasn't like my first visit back. Back in July of 2020, when Disneyland had originally announced its reopening plans.
Oh yeah, we were all excited for that.
Yeah, it was supposed to reopen on its birthday on July 17th, 2020.
Yep.
But then we started going through another surge in the state of California specifically at that time. And it just wasn't a possibility anymore. However, they still stuck with their plans to go ahead and reopen Downtown Disney on July the 9th. Or July the 29th? I can't remember the dates now. I think it was...
Sometime in July.
Yeah. And I went to the reopening of Downtown Disney, not the first day, but the second day. And I remember, like, the first day it was, like, crazy because everyone was just so excited to even be on Disney property again. And I had been visiting Downtown Disney, like, pretty regularly. I would say maybe once a week, probably, at least. Just going to the resort to, you know, check out what's new, to, you know, maybe grab something to eat, whatnot. Things certainly evolved during that period. It was pretty open at first, when it first opened, and then the state of California went into another pretty serious lockdown in November, and kind of pushed us backwards a little bit. So in early November, they actually opened up Disney California Adventure Park.
Oh, yes.
As an extension to Downtown Disney. So for the first time in the history of Disney parks, guests could walk into a Disney park absolutely free and not have to pay a single thing. There were no rides available, but you had the atmosphere, you had the music, you had the shops, you had the dining of that park, and a pretty good portion of the park. There was only a few areas that weren't available, and I was telling everyone, like, just go. Like, when are you never have a history to, like, go into a Disney park for free? I mean, it's never going to happen again in our lifetime where they
right.
offer it for free.
Knock on wood, hopefully.
So, that started on November the 19th, I remember that. November the 19th, and then shortly after it opened on November the 19th is when California went into another lockdown, just after or just before Thanksgiving. I think it was just after Thanksgiving.
It was the winter, late early winter,
yeah.
Fall.
And then they didn't close the park down. They kept California Adventure open and they kept Downtown Disney open, but what you could do was extremely limited. You couldn't eat or drink anything on property. Everything had to be taken to go. Attendance was really limited as far as who could come inside. It just was really different during that period, and it didn't feel the same, for sure. So I had been going to all those different times in the park. I do cover Disney parks for YouTube, so that was why I was going so regularly. So when Disneyland went to reopen, just to answer your question, I didn't feel like unsafe about it, because I had already was already really confident in Disney going above and beyond to
yes
take the steps to do it. I mean, they've they're always going to be the last one to relax whatever kind of rules are going on. Even like with the new blueprint to economy, with allowing vaccinated guests from out of state to visit theme parks, Disneyland still isn't doing that. So, but the other theme parks are choosing to do that, but Disneyland is not. So they'll always be the last one to make, to lower those restrictions. And so I never really felt like it was a problem to go to any of their things. I went to their Touch of Disney event in California Adventure, which was in March. And then when the park reopened in April, I went to that as well, of course, on this last Friday. So I didn't really feel hesitant any time. The only time I would say I kind of sort of felt hesitant was when we first, when Downtown Disney first reopened and we were inside World of Disney for the first time, which is like, for those who don't know that may be listening, it's like a big, huge store that sells, it's like the big Disney store, essentially. And being inside...
Is it still the largest in the world? I think it lost that, right?
Yeah, I think, I don't even know. I mean, Disney World is definitely bigger, so yeah. I don't know if theirs is the biggest or if it's someone else's, but I felt like the first time I was in that store in like July of 2020, I felt a little weird being in the building, like with shared air with other people. But then I thought to myself, well, you know, crowds are way worse than like a Trader Joe's, you know, you're like basically shoulder to shoulder with people in Trader Joe's. So I thought of it that way and kind of got more comfortable with it over time. And then just making sure, you know, doing whatever you're supposed to be doing, obviously. But yeah, I didn't really feel like they never were doing stuff to make it safe, you know?
Unsafe.
Yeah.
What about you, Jordan? How did you feel safe while at the park?
Yeah, I'll just echo everything that Danny said. I think the only thing I'll add is that, yeah, if you've gotten vaccinated, I think that certainly helps with everything. While they're not monitoring it at the gate, you know, they're still taking temperatures for people. I think the only thing that I can remember that was concerning was just the physical distancing at the park on the opening. Given, again, obviously it's a big theme park with a lot of walkways and stuff like that too,
and a lot of people coming in one space at a time.
In the morning, yeah, and then in the evening when people were taking pictures in front of the castle, I think that's where it kind of felt a little bit more congested. Everyone was still really good about wearing their masks, and obviously it was almost like a police state. There were many, all the cast members made sure that people were wearing their masks, which was also very nice and good, in my opinion. So that was also good. And then all the markers, so like if you were in line waiting for attractions or for food, they would always have their markers, you know, that said please wait here, and everybody was so robotic about it, you know, which was again super cool because like people would wait on their markers.
It almost makes you feel like you're like in Japan, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. You just like the idea that you're just, you know, so conscious about doing things a particular way. It was, and obviously having a health, you know, a care for people's health, where it seemed like the perception that people cared about other people's health was certainly there, at least when, we went, but, all that to say that, you know, again, yeah, Disney cares very deeply about that, and they have to because they're a large global brand, and the last thing they want is a outbreak at their theme park. Everything has a bottom line, but I'm glad that it's certainly a benefit to everybody who was and continually are showing up to Disneyland today, even today. Yeah. So
what about your experience with Bright? Did you think that was good? Did it feel, like I said, nerfed experience?
What do you mean by nerfed?
Like, you feel like something's wrong and it isn't as good as it was back
then. Oh.
Yeah. Like, I don't think so. I think you always hear the naysayers but I'm talking about in past times where people are saying, oh, I don't like Disneyland, it's too crowded, I would pay hundreds of dollars more to go when on a day that they cap the attendance at like half of what it is. Well, your wishes come true, because that's literally what they're doing. So
the park is capped at 25%
still. Yeah, yes, that's correct.
Yeah, and according to CBS News today, which I thought was so strange that they said this so confidently on their broadcast, but CBS News on their broadcast says Disneyland is capped at a daily attendance of 20,000 people, and they didn't say it estimated, they literally said it as a fact. So that was strange to me, but that's, there you go. There's a number you can throw around, 20,000 people. That is nothing. If it's 20,000 people, that means a full capacity day at Disneyland is about 80 to 85,000.
Yeah.
So, which I think is somewhat wrong. I think from what I understand, and this was going into, so the capacity number is dictated by the fire authority in each county, who dictates it. Like, when you go into a building, you'll see, like, you know, occupancy yeah. limits. The same thing is done in the theme park, and that's done by authority of the fire department, or the group of fire departments that operate. And so we live in Orange, or Disneyland's in Orange County, California, and it's governed by the Orange County Fire Association, who dictates based on, you know, again, given space where travel, where people can be in. I remember doing a story on this years ago, but they had called in public records to say that Disneyland Park has a capacity of about 85,000 people. So on those very busy days, where, you know, like on Christmas Day years ago, when the park would literally stop people from coming in, it would hit 85,000, roughly around 85,000, give or take, in transient traffic between that. But that math does make sense. If CBS is using, you know, that as the number, 20-something percent of 85,000 is,
yeah, I just thought it was funny that. Because I've never heard anyone say a number confidently like that as a fact from when speaking to Disneyland attendants, and they usually always say, like, estimated.
Yeah.
And so I thought I had to do a double take when I heard them say that, because I was like, wow, okay.
Yeah.
But back to Andy's question, I feel like nothing felt nerfed per se, or like cut back because of that. Like, literally, I went on Friday, which was the opening day, and then I went the next day on Saturday. And Saturday was probably the best day I've ever had at Disneyland, period. There was basically, like, no one there. Like, there was some points where I was in Tomorrowland and there wasn't anyone on the pathway with me. So it was very just odd to be, like, in the parks with such low attendance. No attraction ever exceeded wait times of 25 minutes, with the exception of Rise of the Resistance and
Could you do standby on that? Because I know you have to book.
There's no standby on that, yeah.
Yeah, no, that attraction still would garner a lot of attention, because it was only open for, like, 2.5 months.
Yeah, that's so why, still, like I said, I couldn't go on it.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's still a boarding group system the way it was in the past, but I feel like it's easier to get when you only have like 20,000 people vying for it rather than 80.
Not a fight to the death.
Yeah. So I feel like it's still possible to do. But yeah, I didn't feel nerfed. They did add some plexiglass to some of the attractions, but
they did.
I didn't really feel like that took away from it too much per se.
Not at all.
Attraction?
Like Rise of the Resistance, like the rows were split up with plexiglass.
Okay.
The train had some plexiglass on it, like protecting the cast members more so, really.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of plexiglass added to the queues.
Yes.
Like the most obvious one I could think of was like Pirates of the Caribbean had it, like, dividing, like, Disneyland is notorious for having, like, really small queues because it was built in the 50s and you know,
people's body sizes were different.
Yeah, and there was no and there was no set standard for, like, American Disability Act, so pathway wide things as far as wheelchair accommodations, like, weren't mandated back then. So pathways are only tall enough to fit a vertical person standing still straight up. So, like, at, like, lines like Alice in Wonderland, which are, like, crazy compact, have plexiglass, like, all over. Just to kind of, like, make sure that you stay in your spot. But, yeah, the rides never felt like I would say there's way more plexiglass at Walt Disney World than there is at Disneyland. I can only remember it being on the train and on
the small ride with the small queue rides
and the Rise of the Resistance, but I can't remember like it actually being on any other ride vehicle. Jordan, I don't know if you remember.
No, I think the only thing that I recall in so far is that it didn't deter from the experience. It is different, right? Like, you can't look at a piece of plexiglass in Star Tours, which, by the way, Imagineering certainly MacGyvered that plexiglass.
Oh, I saw that. That was
really
funny.
Interesting. They used a baby seat.
A child's booster seat
to use as the basis for their plexiglass based on the seats themselves. And so, anyways, props to them. They really imagineer everything. It could
that
help.
same method is used on Soarin' too.
Yes. So yeah, but you can't look at that and go like, you know, that's unusual. It's unusual. It is very unusual to see a piece of plexiglass and certainly wearing masks. You know, throughout the entire experience of the day, to know that, it's not the same. It's not the same. It won't be the same for a while. But at its core, the things that do matter, like being in that physical space that has these stories imbued, and obviously there's a lot of connections. I heard it from a good friend of mine a couple weeks ago. That, you know, the places that we go end up making us the people that we are, right? Because we find community in these places. So, I think Disney fans and people, you know, who love being together and their families, like, for sure, like, we're focused way more on that and value that instead of maybe the rides or the attractions or the food. You know, those are the things that brought us to the place and the reason why we do and go to these places. But I think
it's just an excuse to hang out.
Exactly. Yeah. And it was nice to hang out again. It was nice to celebrate. It was nice to eat churros again. It was nice to ride attractions again and scream our heads off on Incredicoaster and all that. With, again, you can do all that, but you had to do it with your mask on, or you had to dine. You can't just walk around and eat your churro anymore. You have to sit and be in these designated dining areas now, and that's the only place you can take your mask off, is if you're eating or drinking or at a restaurant. So again, all these are really good things. They just were not executed the same way because we're in this pandemic. So
there's some things too that it did accelerate. You know, I know if you remember at the beginning of the pandemic, I think Starbucks accelerated their mobile order like infrastructure because it became such a huge thing for them. And then I think the CEO issued some concept art about future stores and how it was always Starbucks's original plan to go to a complete mobile order only location.
Yeah.
But like COVID helped accelerate that by like 5 years.
Yeah.
And that you saw that at Disneyland a lot too. Like there was a lot of things that were on the back burner.
Yeah.
Like as far as like mobile checkout in stores and like mobile order for food that they like just brought to the forefront because it was like the only way to do it to be compliant with their, you know, guidelines.
Yeah. I ended up doing in so far as experimenting with mobile ordering. I know they were playtesting, Danny, I'm not sure if you saw that too, within the app, if you were walking into like World of Disney or a retail location, that you could mobile checkout akin to kind of what Apple has done through their app, right? You can scan a barcode for a piece of merchandise and pay directly in the app, and then literally just walk out without having to go to the checkout, or register, or talk to a cast member.
That's cool. Like, yeah. I mean, because those lines can get long, and I mean, we have the technology.
Yeah. Sure. Like, I mean, might as well. Obviously, it's still like probably a better option to wait in line if you have like a lot of stuff that you're purchasing. But it was more for like them to be able to get that revenue for like the people that are like, oh, I just want to buy this like wallet, or I just want to get this hat, but I don't want to wait in that huge long line. So then they put it down and then they don't want to buy it. And like Jordan was saying, you can just pull up your phone, and like that's one less barrier now for them to be like, oh, I don't want that hat. Like I can just pull up my phone, buy the hat, and walk out. Like I don't need to deal with that line anymore.
Yeah, and then obviously the COVID compliance, like Danny said earlier, right? Like that just, it would prevent people from being in that enclosed space for a long period of time. So, yeah.
Well, even before this all started, like mobile ordering, like at, you know, like what's the name of the restaurant near the in Batu where the hot dogs?
Ronto Roasters.
Ronto, yes. I haven't been that long. I think when you and I went, Jordan, we just let's go get some Ronto. And then just mobile order, then you just pick it up, then you go on your merry way. It's awesome, and it cuts down on what everyone hates the most, waiting in line.
That's true.
And you can do something else while while you wait for your Ronto roast.
Yeah. The only problem is the way that Disneyland is choosing to do it. I think they're gonna iron out some of those details. Is that and you remember this too, Andy, from when you did it, is that it's not like Starbucks where you just mobile order and you can pick it up in like 8 minutes or something like that.
Right.
It's you have to mobile order and pick a time window to pick up your food in. Yeah. So if it's a particularly popular item, say like a Dole Whip, there was an instance on the first day when Jordan and I were there. By 4 p.m., there were no reservations for Dole Whip left. So if you wanted a Dole Whip at like 5 p.m., you couldn't get a Dole Whip. And it was just a weird concept for a lot of guests to understand. What do you mean I'm here at the place that sells Dole Whip and I can't just buy one because I want one?
Right.
And they're like, no, we're already fully committed for the day.
Yeah.
That's really weird on something that's, I mean, pardon my ignorance, but like as simple as Dole Whip. It's just a machine, and like it's just easily. I mean, granted, there's more considerations involved, but still, that would seem something that would be nearly infinite capacity.
Yeah, well, it's a reality, and that's all these things that we're talking about. That's probably not going to change for a while. So again, like thematically, at its core, like again, all the same things that we love about Disneyland are there. It's just the way we experience it is going to be quite different given what's going on. And I think at the end of the day, I'm okay with that. I'm more, I guess, really, if I could pivot again, out of that is that, I'm more curious to know, especially for us locals, because a big part of Disneyland's revenue. Or not revenue, excuse me. Big part of what makes Disneyland the resort really busy is because of us locals. When they announced the revamped pass program, how we're gonna do that. So I'm curious to get your guys' thoughts there too. Like, we were pass holders for a god awful amount of years, given again that the program will come back in a new form, which speculations say it's going to be a lot of reservation heavy plan in advance when you're going to go kind of situations. And again, given we're still at the butt end of a pandemic, are you guys going to be jumping to get it again and know that we can again feel that we have the opportunity to experience Disneyland as many times as we want? Or have you gone on? And like, because we haven't had it for a year, we have different passions, and this podcast died for a little bit, and we picked up new things, like, I picked up golf, are you guys going to do this? Are you going to make Disneyland still a big part of your life, given everything that's happened? Or are we going to say, hey, I'm okay with just going once in a while?
Yeah, I feel like that's a valid thing, Jordan, especially for, a lot of the people that had passes. I feel like that's going to be the case for a lot of them, is that they've reevaluated what they want to do, and maybe that's something that they don't really want to do anymore.
Yeah.
And so that could definitely very well be the case. I know for me personally, I'll definitely still get it. It's still very much something I would like to keep doing. Mm-hmm. I can tell you... For those that are listening that don't know what Jordan was talking about is during the pandemic, Disneyland had suspended everyone's annual pass and just said that we would be getting, day for day access for how much time we lost during the closure. But then at some point, when they realized that Disneyland was going to be closed for a really long time, and then when the reality...
For longer than a pass that you could theoretically have.
And then when the reality set in on what was actually going to be allowed by the state of California as far as attendance and percentages and things like that, they just realized with the large base of annual pass holders that they have being close to 1 million or over 1 million, there was just no way to provide them value and allowing them all to experience Disneyland at only 25%. That would just be really hard to do. And you'd probably end up with a lot more guests consistently calling in and complaining that they're paying monthly for something or had paid already a large amount of money for something they feel like they weren't getting their value for, because every time they tried to book a day, it was like it would be gone or something like that.
Right.
And so it Disneyland has been wanting to revamp their annual pass system for many, many years and moving to a reservation based system even before COVID. Right before COVID, one of the passes was reservation based. I think, Andy, that's the one that you had, right?
No, I had, I forget which one.
Oh, okay. But yeah, there was
the one
option
with parking. I forget the tier.
Oh, okay. Yeah, man.
Parking. Signature, probably. But yeah, there was an annual pass that that was called the Flex Pass, and those guests would make reservations when they wanted to go. And I knew a lot of people that had the Flex Pass and really had no issues with it at all. They were able to make reservations whenever they wanted to go. So
yeah.
It truly wasn't an issue. It just made you be more conscious about planning your time. Like if you wanted to go to Disneyland, you couldn't just drop in at 7 o'clock on a Friday night unless you could make a reservation and claim that. So you really had to be mindful about your visits to Disneyland, and Disney wanted to move everyone to that pass. But when you have everyone on a constant renew cycle and they're grandfathered into these like old pricings that don't exist anymore, it becomes difficult. So they made the very difficult decision, which faced a lot of backlash, to just cancel everyone's pass because Disneyland had been closed for a year, so everyone's pass expired.
Yep.
So they just canceled everyone's pass, refunded everyone who had a leftover time, and then for those that had annual pass monthly payments, they just you didn't have to pay them anymore. They just forgave your loan.
Right.
And moved on, and now there's no annual passes. So for myself and for Jordan who got to go, we had to buy tickets to go, and that's a new thing for us locals, like what Jordan was saying. So you have to really commit more time. Like you had to spend the entire day at Disneyland to feel like you got your money's worth, because the prices are still the same as they were
before
the pandemic. So
yeah,
you had
which
to
was
be mindful.
Yeah, which was I was gonna say, like when I left, Danny, I don't know if you felt this, I felt like I knew I couldn't come back, you know what I mean? Like well, I mean obviously you and I, you know, we bought multi-day tickets. Disney was kind enough to help us with a few other things too in regards to that, but for the most part, like that first day, I remember just saying, okay, you know, you check marked, right? Like I had to make sure that I did everything that I wanted to, and because the moment I left the gates, there was literally no there was not a
oh, I'll just get that next time.
Yeah, exactly. There's a finality to your visit, which, again, I think that was part of this whole drop in the whole pass program thing, right? For or I think part of it, obviously, and given, you know, the health, public health, all that, and circumstances. But, yeah, it felt very strange, again, for me to say that there's no coming back, sort of, kind of, you know.
Without paying
more money.
Yeah, so I myself bought a 3-day ticket, but you know, as an annual pass holder, like we all were, your annual pass gave you tickets to both parks.
Yeah,
I didn't want to spend that much money, so yeah, I just bought a 3-day ticket to Disneyland.
Yeah,
I haven't even been to California Adventure yet, so
yeah,
I that's basically what happened with me in regards to that. So. But like Jordan said, there was definitely a finality. Like, I'm not going back anytime soon, most likely. I'll probably go back, if I can, on Disneyland's birthday, just because I feel like that'd be kind of cool.
Yeah.
But I don't have plans to go, like, on Avengers Campus opening day.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have plans to go like for the rest of May, to be honest, like except for my third use ticket day. So like it's just it, like Jordan was said, it's very finality. Like I spent a good portion of the last half of my day at Disneyland on my second day just taking pictures of stuff.
Yeah.
Because I didn't want to be like last time where you leave and potentially could not come back for a while. So I was like, oh, let me take a bunch of pictures of things.
You have to stock up.
Yeah.
Go ahead. No, like for me as being a former pass holder, like I don't know when I will go back.
I do want to go back. You know, yes.
And I was a little apprehensive at first because I'm like, this is a little, in my mind, this felt like a little too soon.
Yeah.
But I mean, in California, our picture is drastically, as of today, knock on wood, a lot better. And I think we're kind of the, not we're the best in the country at our like rates right now.
We're getting there.
And I would go, but the thing is, it's like, I think, like you said, the lack of serendipity of like, oh, I'm going to go with you. Like, hey, coworker, you have a pass? Oh, let's go. Like, those days are over.
Yeah.
Like, at least for me.
But and we made a case. We made a case for you going back, didn't we? Didn't Danny and I said, okay.
No, I'm okay with going back. I don't know when I'm going to go back. Like, I think that, we should go.
We should, the Monorail Blue Pod team should go. Like, we did.
That for our last episode.
Do you remember that one episode? Sorry, I'm going to weigh in a little poetic.
And, yeah, you can get us tickets for DCA and we'll all go and recreate that day again.
Do you guys remember that? We literally walked around with phones.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to put a cap on it. You know, I don't know what we're timing this on, Andy, but I think this is where this is how we're going to land the ship. Because I remember the reason why it matters to me and it will continue to matter for me for the rest of my life is because of those things, right? Like, who would have thought that three guys come together, you know, and this passion for this place makes them do really weird stuff, like bring their phones and record a podcast while going to a theme park and talking about
said theme park.
You know, like, it's just, and those are memories to me. Like, I don't care how you think how weird that is. Those moments with you guys are so tied to that place and the things that are there that, you know, make up who I am. And those, I want more of those things, you know? I know that will happen in some shape or form again. So yes, to go back to my own question, yes, I for sure will be getting a pass, and that's the reason why. It's because of, given everything that we've been through in the past year and everything that is to come, good and bad, that that we'll be able to do stuff like this. Friends can gather, we can have a good time, we can celebrate, and Disneyland just facilitates all that stuff. So, yeah, man, I'm excited for that. And we're going to do it, okay? Because Monorail Blue Pod is coming back, man. It's coming back. We won't even have weekly episodes, but we'll come up and we'll just drop episodes like Beyonce does, you know, onto their music. And we won't tell anyone, but they'll come and people will listen. Because apparently like 300 people listen to this podcast and that's the reason why we're coming back with this reunion, right, Andy? In some shape or form.
To give the people what they want, I guess.
Give the people what they want. And we're going to record episodes while riding Monorail Blue. Wouldn't that be so cool, Danny? Meta, and just to give context again, Danny gave us the name Monorail Blue and I thought it was just like the shiznits. And I thought it was so cool. We have a cool logo, and see, look, I'm getting animated and excited for all these things to come, because it's gonna happen, right, Andy?
Yeah, I mean, hopefully, it's reasonable.
Yes!
And, no, but I would, to finish that, I don't know if I would get a pass, but I would go.
Yes.
And I think that's a big hurdle for me.
And you would go with us.
Of course I would go with you guys. But okay. Yeah. I don't know when and if I would get a pass again. But I will still continue to go whenever I see fit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I said, it was Jordan pretty much nailed it on the head. Like it was definitely a different experience, but it was very familiar in the same route. I said a lot of positive stuff about it in my video and just in general. I feel like it was a lot of fun. And I felt safe, like we mentioned before. So I just feel like we did get some news. I think we kind of skipped ahead maybe for people that don't know or aren't in the know that may be listening. Jordan was asking, would we get a pass again? Well, Disney did tease that they were going to come out with some new program, but it would be vastly different.
Yes.
And then it would be called, they actually teased the name as like membership. So I'm not
sure. Membership.
I remember that. Yeah.
But then more recently, just this last week, the current president of Disneyland Resort, Ken Potrock, was on an official Disney podcast with D23. And, he actually dropped the news that, those new memberships or annual passes would be coming before the year was over.
Yeah.
And a lot of people thought we wouldn't be seeing them for a while. It's kind of nice knowing that they're on the horizon.
Yeah. And I guess that's just to end it on a positive note. That's just a sign of things improving.
Yes.
And us finally seeing the light at the end of the tunnel and, you know, closing this chapter on this horrible, horrible time in history.
Andy, and can we have happily ever after then?
Hopefully.
There we go.
I'm cautiously optimistic, but I won't be unrealistic. But I think we're coming out of this, and if, you know, these conversations are to be had, that means we're in a lot better place.
We're a lot better place. And it's just so great that we get to do this again together with all you guys. I'm just so happy. Thank you for the time. Thank you, Andy, for looking at the metrics randomly. And, you know, and it just gave us an excuse to do this. So hopefully the next time we do this, we can do this together at the parks. So.
Yeah, that would be great.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
All right. And we'll just leave it on that note.
Thank you guys for listening. Listen for the next monorail. We'll be back. Guys, our podcast is
bye. Bye, guys.
No smoking, bye. Please.